Hey, it's White Boy Chris. If the pat-downs ever made you laugh, then join our Patreon and support us. Get bonus content, a t-shirt, or an autographed copy of Rabbit, Miss Pat's autobiography. Visit MissPatComedy.com for the link to the Patreon, and while you're there, join our Facebook group.
Welcome to another episode of the Pat-Down. We're here talking about some real shit. Therapy, church bomb, crazy people, Donald Trump auntie. We talking about all kind of shit. Nauseous. What's the other diseases they have?
Borderline
nauseous. And what else?
Borderline narcissist and sociopath.
Social security check getting nigga ass. All them niggas out there who crazy. Stay tuned after the music.
What are you doing? The baby's laughing at you.
Better get up, get out, and tune into this podcast. It's Pat, spit the truth, spit the real facts. Nothing but the ugly, classy at the same time. Pat got the flavor, these are not your same lines. That's the politics, she been on the real grind. It could be pretty, but ugly at the same time. Just tune in, put your lock on the spin dial. Ain't no need for the wait and turn it up now. What you talking about? It's real though. And cut the game, you get no play like Nintendo. Waste of time, turn it up, nothing but the ugly. Straight off the top, everything she say, you know it's funny. Full blast, this is taste of the future. Listen on your iPhone, on your desktop computer. Share it, tweet it, ain't no way to beat it. Nothing but the ugly, turn it up and gon' repeat it.
We literally talking about different, what is it called, Chris?
Helicopter parents, sheltered kids.
Oh, is that what they call?
Or we were talking about
conditions.
Mental health issues.
Yeah, right.
We was talking to our producers here, Kate, and she was, do you mind if I share? She was saying that, you know, how you call them PK pastor kids, mm-hmm. and how she was all sheltered and shit, right. and she learned of these conditions, which is
borderline narcissism, sociopaths, you know, histrionics, like all that stuff, like all the personality disorders.
Yeah, and she said like her mom would do shit like trip her up going up the stairs. Like it's mostly like you would think it is planned, but it wasn't really planned. It's okay to do it one time, but you doing this shit 2-3 times a day, bitch, you crazy.
It's mind games to create
control
like what. What happens in a lot of households, and like especially I think in suburban white households, is control games, mind games. It's very sheltered. We're gonna keep you in a bubble, and then like there's also like this cruelty and this narcissism, and it's like, so you get out into the world and you're totally not prepared for the world,
and you end up kidnapped,
and you have all your parents' bad thinking patterns, and then mental health is stigmatized. So it's like crazy.
I'm glad we're talking about this because I was in AT&T store the other day and I was getting something done with an iPad. And at first it was just me and I'm in there. One of the guys who worked as a fan, he listened to the podcast. Hey, darling. But and then in walked this couple and I said they look like Carol Baskin. That's what they look like to me. So
bitch owes me money.
He said, so they walked
me out, Trump.
he walked in. He said, they owed a couple. They said, my daughter says it's time for me to get off her account. And I'm looking like, fuck wrong with these folks. Why these old folks on their daughter account?
Yeah.
So they sat down and they started talking, y'all. And the guy was like, well, you can get your own account. And he said, but we have to run the credit. He said, oh, we locked all credit because we don't want nobody to get all credit.
Right.
I said, what the fuck wrong with these folks? Then they went on to say, the man said, well, with the plan, you know, with the AT&T plan, you can get HBO, Hulu. And this couple literally said, what is Hulu? They said, oh, no, we only watch the Hallmark channel. That's all we watch, that and cartoon.
Right.
And I was like, oh, my God. These people don't want to believe that the world is real. So they watch Hallmark channel. Well, shit is perfect.
Mm-hmm. And if you threaten, like we had an instance on a show that I work on where we had a guest and they mentioned diversity is a good thing and said the word white man. And this is a white older man that said it, you wouldn't believe the crying about it. I mean, it was like you had invaded the safe space and had basically, how dare you confront me with black people in this safe bubble that I've created for myself. And like, that's the whole, like, I don't know. I think boomer parents, white parents, because that's what I know, Like, there has been an effort to keep themselves protected from everything, their kids protected from everything, and it's just created this fragility in people that makes them totally ill-equipped to talk about the real issues in this world. It's like me at the beginning, like, join the Patreon, go listen to me in those first few episodes that we talk about race, you know, because it's like, and they're in the Patreon because I didn't want them in the public feed because I wasn't ready for all that. You know what I mean?
Oh, we know, nigga. You a teapot. We know your teapot.
You know, but it's like that fragility of like...
Seeing your suit too big up there pledging to be racist for the rest of your life and only fuck cucumbers. I saw you.
But it starts...
What is your thing with cucumbers?
I don't know.
That's like your go-to frozen cucumbers.
Don't have any pickles in this household.
They don't break when they froze. Put your pinky down.
I'm pointing at you. What you saw at that AT&T store is my friend's parents.
Yeah, I was actually really shocked. And I'm listening. I was like, they really care a basket. Without the motherfucking route ties or whatever the fuck she was over there raising.
She still got green on her mind.
Right, yeah.
So they was like, oh, we only watch the Hallmark Channel and cartoon. We like Bugs Bunny. I said, they're so... And then in walked a big fat ass daughter that looked like she shook the whole land of corn this evening.
Corn fetish.
She had on some crop shoes and they were tilting to the right like there was a bridge by to land up on the other side. And I was like,
boat coming through.
Who fucking is big bitch? That's what I'm saying to myself. And I said, these people are so disconnected. I was just listening to their conversation, how disconnected they were from reality. The fucking reality, what's going on in the world. He said, you can get HBO and then, oh, no. Oh, we not watching nothing like that. I'm like, do you know how much fucking you missing? You old ass hag.
We didn't grow up in that kind of, like, she grew up in as a PK, so I'm sure she wasn't allowed to watch any, even Nickelodeon, but like...
You couldn't watch Nickelodeon?
No, I mean...
You couldn't watch Nickelodeon?
My homeschooled cousin...
Come on over here, Kate, what the fuck you behind the camera for? If you want to be on the camera, you be okay? No, we're going to share. You ain't got COVID, do you?
My homeschooled cousin...
She do, he got it anyway.
My homeschooled cousin came over one time and we showed her South Park and she was like shaking in terror because she was so afraid of getting caught by my aunt and uncle.
Oh, man, I used to get in trouble for trying to watch fucking In Living Color because my mom wanted to be a first lady at a church big fucking time. So, like, we weren't allowed to watch that shit either, but we didn't have it to the extreme that y'all did. Like,
my husband was like that. He grew up in a very churchy family and you know my history with church. We just went to eat and hunch. But my husband grew up. They went to church.
Hunching hungry.
Every day except Sunday.
Yeah.
They went to church every day except Sunday.
It's the worst.
Yeah, let's take a break, plug this in, and then we'll talk to Kate. How about
that? We're going to take a break real quick.
Kate was like, I'm ready to sit down.
Don't stop it, Kate. Just let it run.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, this is who you hear behind the camera breathing all the time.
Breathing heavy sometimes.
And so we talk about preachers, and she was telling me, which I thought was very interesting, is how she grew up with... Go, Kate, tell your story.
The whole story?
In West Philadelphia. You know.
I wish it was that cool. I did grow up... Closer. I did grow up as a pastor's kid, and kind of what... you were just mentioning was like not even being allowed to watch Nickelodeon. Same thing. HBO was like, that was for dirty people.
Right.
And I think that's sinners, definitely
like
sinners.
Me in the basement at 13 watching real sex.
You were dirty, Neil. Yeah. Everybody did that except for Pat. She was actually
Air Force Amy.
Real sex.
Nigga, I was fucking. But anyway, in Jesus' name.
We was watching it. She was doing it.
Dick is delicious. I was getting it early. Go ahead. Early bird catches the worms.
And crabs.
And crabs and everything else. Go, keep going.
Now, I mean, HBO is pretty much 90% of what I watch, so I've come a long way, you know.
You like my cousin, you were kept in bubble wrap.
Yeah, that was pretty much what it was. Like Radio Disney is what I was allowed to listen to for a really long time. So, like, to this day when I hear, what's that Fergie song? The one that really made her famous about London, the London Bridge. That song. And it always said, it says, oh shit, at the beginning. But I grew up just hearing, oh snap, all the time.
Right.
So I heard it recently and I was like, wow, it sounds so much better if you say shit, not snap.
They just robbed you of everything.
They robbed me of everything. Oh, shit. Yeah, of everything. Yeah.
My God. The whole oh shit. Okay. Was the first time she heard that song. She was like, damn, Fergie did a remix? No.
I love my mom, but like I was 33 before I finally told my mom not to talk to me a certain way. Yeah. And like that, disobeying my mother by talking back to her at 33 was like the most liberating thing, because you were not taught to do that.
No.
Like there was an anxiety. You were to respect authority at all costs. You were to obey the government, to obey police officers, obey your parents, obey your teachers. Like that constant like anxiety around authority figures, I think is...
That is why there's such a disconnect between the cultures.
Yeah.
Because y'all see us and be like, well, why didn't he just do what the cop said? It's like, motherfucker, because this shit's not the same.
Yeah.
Like that's a huge...
That's a really good point.
Huge issue,
right?
That no one ever wants to address is how
authority figures in suburban white households are good. Like you see it on your Facebook with the Back the Blue people. Like you're not to talk to your parents a certain way. Like I think that creates a certain level of anxiety. Like Kate and I have talked about this like privately. Like you were firstborn. We're super responsible. We don't stand up for ourselves because you are not to stand up for yourself.
Correct.
Like you've listened to me like be mothered by Miss Pat.
Right.
Cause we were not, I'm not like when I was going, I felt so bad in that last episode when I was going back at Miss Pat. In my mind, I'm going, man, did I hurt her feelings? I really
can't. Nigga, no. Keep talking. You know? I'm not your motherfucking mama.
I know, but that's the...
I'm a real mama, bitch. If you hit me, then it's on.
But that's the script that goes on in our heads.
That's them white folk strip.
That's right.
Black folk strip. Black kids ain't talking back either, but no, they ain't. You just been... No, keep going. Keep telling your shitty story. But I mean, your story.
You know what? Fuck you, mama. I mean, Miss Pat...
Yeah, so it was a lot of your therapy too then. I know you mentioned. Yeah. I don't know if you want to talk about that. Okay.
Therapy changed my life.
A lot of it is learning to like take up your own space. Mm-hmm. A lot of what you're saying there, like you don't feel like you're allowed to, the way I grew up at least. Like it was like keep your thoughts to yourself.
Yeah.
You don't matter. Yep.
You are not, you're not like you're a doormat, and that's the best way to be is a doormat because that's the polite thing to do.
Yep.
You're not to stand up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's how wrong that is.
There isn't a podcast every time we have ever recorded that I haven't left this podcast and thought, man, I was really mean to them. I should really like apologize.
Oh, no.
What?
But then I go, fuck that. No, I have nothing to apologize for.
He's really came a long way. Because I used to say, why are you so fidgety? What's fuck wrong with you? And, I mean, I've seen the growth in you. Just how confident you is in yourself. And, you know,
stand up for yourself.
Yeah, you always will.
Yeah.
In our brains, it's not acceptable. It's disrespectful. It's disobedient. Like, you know, Kate was telling her story off the air and, like, it's hard to break that script because you've just been so ingrained with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like it, at least in my therapy, part of what I learned is sometimes the voice doesn't go away completely. Oh. Like you're saying, like when you leave, you're still thinking like, oh shit, was I too mean? But like the fact that you are able to still like go back at her means like there's still the part of your brain that like is learning how to override it, basically.
That the next thought is, but Pat and Dion still love me, and they still invite me back. Yeah. And like they tell me if there's something wrong. Like I'll think, did I say something racist? Did I say something offensive? And I go, Dion's the first person that will tell me. And if they don't tell you, then you know what I mean? Like there's constant work to kind of get out of that
mindset.
I think
it's just constant worry.
Yeah.
I didn't have that growing up. We couldn't talk back, but we wasn't like y'all shits. And my mama listened to motherfucking BB King and Ride the White Horse and all kinds. Y'all remember Ride the White Horse?
Ride the white horse like her mom.
Jesus Christ.
What did he say?
Man, did your mom do heroin too?
My mama thought actually it was fucking a white man, but it was heroin. But it's a lot of stuff like, sorry, you know, when you've been abused or people have controlled you. Because I hear, like, my fear is that I really don't ever talk about is never thinking I'm good enough.
Yeah,
and that Dion
that always, drives me fucking insane.
When she says it, I go, man, I know exactly how she feels.
I'm never good enough, and every opportunity that I get, I'd be like, do I deserve this? And like,
it's just so bizarre.
Have you heard about imposter syndrome?
Uh-uh.
So that's like a lot of people in entertainment talk about it too specifically, but it's that constant feeling of like you are good enough if like you got an opportunity, but you're saying when you get it, you're still like, am I good enough for this opportunity? Is it a fluke that I got it? Like, do I deserve it?
Miss Pat,
that's
would
imposter
call me,
syndrome.
Yeah, Miss Pat would call me for the first year of this podcast and go, do you think they like it? Do you think it's catching on? I'm like, we have tens of thousands of downloads a week, and people by the hundreds are messaging us saying how much they love it. Like, listen to that. Like, what you have a hard time with, which I do too, I'm sure Kate does too, like, anytime you have proven experience, like, worth, you have proven talent in something, you've shown up, like, you've sold out, you know, you're to theaters almost, like, you have a TV show, like, listen to that.
I think when you've been abused, you learn how to deal with the abuse. That stuff never go away. Like, I still hear my mama's voice when I get something saying, bitch, you ain't shit.
Yep.
And then I start to doubt myself. Like, you know, like even when I saw the TV show, I mean, I think I'm funny, but I'm never going to think. And I think that's come from abuse. I'm never gonna think I'm as good as people think I am.
Right.
You know, like when people say you're famous, I said no. I'm a bitch that go to Lowe's with no bra on. Mm-hmm. And it's like I make up excuses so I don't. Another thing I can't do, and I think it's from the abuse, is I can't take on titles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like today we was on a Zoom and they was like, oh, I'm producer and enjoying. Like, I'm creator and producer, and everybody throwing out their big titles, and I said, I'm just Miss Pat.
Yeah.
and they don't, Jordan's like, I can't do it, because then I feel like, I think I can't do it because I think that voice is going to come in my head and tell me I ain't shit.
Yeah.
So as long as I downplay, like I haven't did anything good, I don't have to hear that voice.
Yeah. There's nothing to live up to.
There's nothing to live up to.
So you can't.
And I, like, if, I think, I know, I, hell, I think that's why I do it. I never put myself up there, because then I start hearing my mom, you know, bitch, you ain't shit. Mm-hmm. You know, like the my first kid's father, you ain't shit. I start hearing the negative from people. And then I started questioning myself. Am I good enough? You know, like.
Does this happen too, where you hear the negative voices from the people that you love, but people you don't actually know, they build you up, but that doesn't matter as much?
Yeah, like I used to always say when I first got a podcast and I first started to get popular, I say, what was you motherfuckers at when I needed you the most?
No, Mike.
Probably not born. Yeah, I mean, I get that a lot. I mean, and I deal with it. I think I deal with it by playing it down, and since I started the therapy stuff, I'm starting to realize a lot of things, like how those voices come back, and how that control never goes away.
Right.
You know, the things that you don't forget that people done to you.
Yeah. And then typically when you're getting really angry and lashing out, it's typically, I started learning, that means I'm hearing my mom in that person or my dad in that person. And so
you
if I'm irrationally angry, it's because they're triggering in me like all the fears I had because of my mom and my dad's voice in
they
my
project
head.
You project onto them that person that punished you. Like, I have a hard time taking compliments. So if somebody messages me and says, you're really funny, I want to make a joke about that and put that compliment down instead of, what I've learned to do now is just thank you. I appreciate that you made the effort to make me feel good. if this were 3, 4, 5 years ago before therapy, like I would have tried to make a joke or, oh, I'm not this or I'm not that. Like there's a rejection of any compliment and an internalization of every criticism.
Yeah.
You know, now I've learned to like go, see, not every criticism is equal and every compliment is deeply, it's not bullshit. They're like, they're not lying to me, you know, and I see that in other people too. I see that in you sometimes, Ms. Pat, where it's like you get a compliment and they're lying. They're not telling the truth. They don't know.
I will admit it.
And that's almost
I don't really like talking on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Like I read the comment and I just stroll.
Yeah.
I was like, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's crazy because I as my career started to build is when I really started to notice this.
Yeah.
And even before I got the therapy, when I was shooting the show, I started to say, I remember leaving a show one time, me and Dion was at, and this older black man came out and I was telling all these stories on stage and laughing about it. And he was like, if you get therapy, I'm telling you, it really works. Yeah. And that's all he said to me, like a ghost, and went out the door with his big ass.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, nah, I don't need no therapy. But
it's going to make you the greatest comedian of your generation if you go to therapy, because of a sudden all those bad scripts that are limiting you, that are holding you back, are all going to go away.
And it does mean you lose like being able to talk about it or of that. Yeah.
I used to have this real big fear of like really succeeding. Like our goal. I remember it happened. I'll tell you when it happened, when I knew it was an issue. When I did the roast battle. Mm-hmm. And remember we went to Chicago and I killed and I did not want to win in Canada. I didn't even really try. If you look, I never seen it, but my husband said, what was wrong with you? I was scared to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was literally scared to win. And it wasn't because Raffin May was funny, but I know I could have hung with him.
Yeah.
I didn't even try. All I wanted to do was, it was a big stage for me. I didn't want to go there in the first place. I only went there. I thought I was just going to get knocked out in Chicago, and I ended up making it.
She killed the dude in Chicago.
Of course.
Yeah, and so I didn't want to, you know, they put me against Raffi May. I didn't even try. I really didn't even try. And so, because I didn't want it. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be on that stage with them.
Yeah, so much of therapy in like the last 5 years of my life, because I went twice a week for 2 years and then once a week for two more years. It's like every missed opportunity or every failure is because I held myself back because I was afraid, you know, and like therapy helps you get rid of those blocks. Like it helps you get over that fear. It helps you to not see everybody as the same person. Like I can still fall back into that stuff when I'm stressed, but like, you know, it helps you just, it's, if you're a dude, especially, go to therapy because your relationship, if your relationship sucks, it's because you're not in therapy, sir. It's not your girlfriend or wife's fault. It's your fault because you're fucked up. I guarantee
it's so weird. Like therapy is actual medicine for your emotional state of being.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
Yet we look at that profession as weak and fucking stupid and it's stigmatized, but it literally, just being able to talk to a professional about what's going on inside of you and how you feel, that, I mean, it could save so many people if we just got over the, oh, I don't want to look a certain way. And it's like, motherfucker, you already, like we already see you. So what if that's the worst, just imagine how much better you're going to be afterward.
It literally, like, I don't know about you, but like I gave all the excuses of, no, that's weak. I'm not going. That's, guys don't do that. Like, but when you went, having to, the ability to tell somebody who legally couldn't tell anybody anything, like you could tell them anything, it trained me to have those conversations because all of a sudden I felt safe having those conversations and I got a lot less anxiety and afraid about stuff because I learned how to do it with a safe person that couldn't tell anybody my deepest, darkest secrets, which, oh, by the way, she'd heard 100 times that week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, they're professionals, so they know how to get out of you what you're afraid to release. So if they'll just have you start talking.
Yeah.
Right. And before you know it, you're telling all your the shit that has makes you cry or makes you afraid.
Yeah.
But they do it in a way that you feel safe.
You don't feel judged.
Yeah. They definitely don't judge. And then they're helping you go. So it's like you're not by yourself in that trauma. At least that's how it was for me when I was 16.
Yeah.
I went from 16 to 17. the whole school year. I would actually get to get out of class every Thursday to go for like 40 minutes to talk to this. She literally saved my life.
How did you, because I think the starting it, it's the hardest part. Like, how did you get hooked up with them?
Well, the school saw that I was having some behavioral issues, so it was mandated for me. And the first session, I was like, I'm not going to talk to you. And she just sat there with me. She was like, you will. And I was like, I'm not. I'm glad I'm out of class. But she got me to start talking. She was, you know, at first, it wasn't even about traumatic issues. She was like, well, what do you like? What don't you like?
Right.
Stuff like that. And she made me feel comfortable. And then we got into the home stuff and how I was dealing with my parents and their divorce. And it was just like, before I knew it, I was thinking about things that I knew that I didn't know I knew.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know, so exactly.
Like, you witness trauma, but you don't recognize it as trauma in right. the moment. Mm-mm. And then they bring it up to you and you're like, oh, fuck, that's exactly why I felt like that.
We were, yeah. She walked me through it and like we got to the night my dad left. And if I talk about it still now, I will start crying. Like, because that is just right on the surface. But we got to that after like 6 months, and I just started bawling. I literally went through the same emotions I had, but I walked out of there feeling like so light.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, all I did was just go to my insurance website, find a provider. I knew I liked talking to women better, and I knew I wanted somebody that I wouldn't fuck, so I like chose somebody who was older, and like we had like the best conversations. Legit. I have a friend goes, don't hire a therapist you want to fuck, because I have hired my therapist and all I wanted to do.
I don't
was
give
fuck.
A fuck who you hired.
I wanted to fuck my therapist, but I wasn't old enough.
You and if you don't like the person, go to another therapist. You'll connect with somebody eventually. It's
yeah,
like
sometimes it takes people three
how did you
four
get
tries.
How did you get into therapy?
Well,
you should ask Chris.
It's a great, I went to college and really started realizing even more. I knew when I left for college that I didn't exactly love my life at home. Then I became a lot more aware of it once I was away. And so, started kind of clashing with my parents, mainly my mom at the time. But I pretty much kind of started figuring out with Reddit actually. Hmm. That it sounded like she was a narcissist. So I kind of stumbled upon that myself and started learning that no contact is pretty much your only option when you're dealing with someone who's not going to hear you, like right. is not going to be able to hear you. So I hadn't even been in therapy quite yet. And I told her I pretty much decided to go no contact with her. That blew everything up. And so the interesting thing is my mom found the therapist. Hmm. For our whole family to start going to, and she got diagnosed and didn't like her diagnosis and didn't like hearing the things that we were saying. And so she quit, and I actually stayed on with that therapist for about 6 years.
Great.
And yeah, like I was a mess. I would not be where I am now if it weren't for therapy.
Do you talk now? Do you and your mom talk?
No, we don't. Nope. It's been 7 years, I think, since I've talked to my mom.
Really?
Yeah. She just doesn't believe the diagnosis, which is a really common thing with borderlines and narcissists, doesn't believe any of the diagnoses and says I'm lying about the things that happened. I actually the last time I texted with her. Yes, pretty much. Last time I got a text from her, I think this was the last one I got, I started blogging about it a little bit just because it's like what I think is really important, even like when you're able to say like you even don't always feel good enough. I think a lot of people, that's helpful for a lot of people, because a lot of people are probably like, Miss Pat never feels that way. Like, oh, yes, you like separate that.
You gotta go to Hobby Lobby.
Right. So I've always felt, I always respect people who can talk about it too, and I know how helpful it is to hear someone else's story. So I started kind of blogging about what was happening, and the last time my mom texted me, she said she was gonna sue me if I didn't take it down.
Of course, they hate when you start talking about them.
Yeah, so that was the last.
Sound like Donald Trump.
That was the last time I talked to her. I think I know there was a Christmas she reached out, and I was like, "I'm like, just because it's the holidays and you're lonely and you don't have anyone, like she doesn't get to have pictures with her kids and post them on Facebook and be like, I'm such a great person." Right. I pretty much told her that I was like, just because you want to look good and it's the holidays doesn't mean
do you think
they're talking.
Do you think that there is any ability to reconcile?
No.
Do you have any desire?
I don't know. No, not unless there was a big change. She's never apologized, and she still doesn't think she did anything wrong. So I just can't wrap my head around spending time with someone like that.
You will not be able to heal unless that apology comes. Because right. for the no, longest time...
That's not true.
You can heal, you can but heal, the relationship doesn't.
That's what I mean.
There has to be a conscious
You
got to
forgive. You got to forgive so right. you can live. And that's what I had to do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my mama had died, and I couldn't get an apology from her. And my ex, you know, I've told that story 100 times when I thought he was going to apologize. So you can heal by forgiving them, and that you will release that same amount of pressure off of you as Chris did when he cried, or you did when you cried. And I mean, it's just for you to live.
I meant you can't heal that relationship right. until
yeah,
you get
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Because that's what happened between me and my mom for the longest time. Like, I didn't talk to her. I was like, you don't have nothing to say to me other than we address the issue that yeah. where I left you at. It's like, until that is reconciled, we don't have anything to talk about. And it took a couple of years. It was like 3 or 4 years where I had no contact outside of holidays, and because the whole family got together. But I was in no hurry to talk to her.
You know, when I first met you, and I knew he had mother issues because of the way he talked to women and the way he used to try to talk to me.
I hate this story.
Yeah, but I told him, you don't respect your mother. Because not because I'm older than him by a few years, but I just saw the way he would talk. Like, we're friends. We've been friends since I moved here. But the way he talked, and I was like, nigga, you know, when a black man been raised by their mama and they respect their mama, they have respect for black women. They, in their minds, we're queens. And it wasn't because he dated a bunch of white women. I told him this from day one.
Now, am listen, I'm lying? Let's work on your coping skills, Dion.
Am I lying? I told
yes,
you from day
you're
one.
Lying.
No, I know. No, no. I said, am I lying when I told you you have mama issues? I told him that a long time ago. I sure did. I knew it.
I didn't need you to tell me that.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that about you.
Yeah.
But I could tell from the way you react with me.
Yeah, it was the way you would speak to me. I don't let anybody speak to me the way you used to speak to me. Including my mother, because she used to try and talk to me like that.
Yeah.
And that was part of the therapy that I went through. It's like, don't let anybody talk to you that way.
Well, and Dion was also a person when I first met him, like, he didn't want you to be like, I'm blunt and I tell you what the fuck on my mind. I tell you when you fuck up. Like, when I first met him, and he was like, he thought he was like the fun. He was like most comics when we first started coming. You know, we get a few good sex and we think we the shit.
More therapy.
And I was trying to tell him certain things and he would fight back. And I'm like, nigga, why are you fighting back? I know what the fuck I'm talking about right here. But he, over the years, he have gotten a lot better. Like, he wouldn't listen when I first. It was always this with us. Like, when
you learned how to talk to me. It wasn't what you were saying. It was how you were saying it. It's why I wasn't receiving it.
I can tell you from your dynamic. Let me help change the subject. Let me have the talk.
Yeah, like, we're gonna break out and fight.
It's not a bad subject. We also are attracted.
I'm saying, like, watching you two and you, Dion, stand up for yourself and, like, say, I'm not going to accept less than how I'm supposed to be treated,
mm-hmm.
you know, has helped me. And like, that's been a great example because, and you saying, I'm safe, you can say it to me, you can say it to my face. Like, when you're dealing with narcissistic people, you have to have a spine of iron. Like, you have to have the, like...
I don't think I ran into one yet.
You have. You just, I mean,
you couldn't be in your industry and not.
You beat most of yours up, though.
Yeah, because you never started where Kate and I started, or maybe Dion, like, where you don't feel you're worthy of having, like, you just are allowed to be talked to that way. You don't have that same thing where it's like, when you're dealing with a narcissistic person like your mom, it's like, you gotta cut it off because.
Classic example is when you beat the boy up in the office and Avery was just standing there. I mean, he is definitely.
Oh, he was.
He's definitely.
He would lie his ass off. Gardner.
Okay. Yeah. No, he is 100%.
Yes. Oh, I remember when I first met this dude, when I first moved here, you know, like, he was a comedian and, you know, he was one of the ones they kind of thought was a shit. And he told me he was a professional golf instructor. And so he said, I fly down and I train people like Tiger Woods. And I'm like, what? Yeah. That's what I'm saying to myself. And I'm like, oh, he must be rich. And he walked around with that white boy swag, with the khaki pants, and act like he looked like he had some money. I never seen him get out of a car, so I never knew what he drove anyway. But then I learned out he was just a lying, gambling, broke piece of shit.
You know what's amazing about those people is they can be successful for a period of time. They can be president, but eventually, like, they overstay their welcome and everybody figures out exactly who they are.
The emperor can only have no clothes for so
exactly.
long.
Exactly.
And then it's like somebody recognizes, why this nigga don't got no clothes
right.
on?
Right.
Yeah. And often was, people actually yeah. did know and they just they were say
afraid
anything.
To say it.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that, like, just speak up.
Yeah.
Because the second you speak up, all those people, like, I had a situation with a friend where I finally was like, I think this guy's no good. And I had like half a dozen people go, hey, I didn't know how to tell you this. I've right. been waiting for you to figure it out, but you need to know. Like, it's once you kind of go, hey, that person, is that that? Yes, that's exactly, yeah, you yeah. know,
mm-hmm.
like that's where great friendships, like what you two have, where you can, like, I've never seen two friends be more honest with each other. And that's been great for me to watch.
I love you on Facebook. I mean, he be going in and they be, ooh, I said, look at Chris. I said, ooh, his little playing field people be after his ass.
Yeah.
And he fired back. I'd be like, get him, Chris. And then I always come on and say, Chris, why are your friends so racist?
You know what? You know what's hilarious is over this year doing that, it's been my libertarian people that don't like me as much. It's been my high school friends that I didn't think listen to me go, you're exactly right. You'd say what I like, you know, because I think a lot of them and like Kim, I know she listens. We all grew up and we listen to this show. They listen to this show and they go, man, I thinking the same, like you're articulating, we're articulating what a lot of suburban white people want to know, mm-hmm. want to talk about. They just
but
needed
they don't
a model.
Know how to do it.
They needed a model.
Yeah.
They needed a model. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it, yeah, but we all got issues. In the end, we all got issues. It's all about just, you know, fighting them demons and, you know, try to come around. I'm not perfect. I mean, I like doing a podcast because it let people know that I'm human. I don't sit here and talk about no fart jokes. I want to sit here and talk about real shit. I told my husband about a month ago, I said, I think I'm scared to succeed. I think there's a problem that I have. And once I started talking to the therapist lady, she made me realize what the problem was.
Yeah.
The fear that I have. And, you know, I fight your ass. But when it come up to, I don't call them friends. I have people that's famous that I talk to. And then I started down myself. Why would they want to talk to me? You know, why would they want to be my friend?
Right.
Like, I'm laying in bed one night and I get a text and it's like, I haven't seen you since the camp. And I'm like, who the fuck is this? And so I stroll down and it's fucking Joel McHale. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the fuck you want with me? That's what my mind, what makes me push everybody away, say.
Yeah.
And I just started talking to him. It ended up being a really funny fucking conversation. But I'm glad I was able to realize that, you know, because I've missed opportunities from being scared like that.
Do you find yourself unconsciously causing chaos to avoid success?
There have been times when I didn't want to do something. I mean, I've talked to you 100 times about it, D. I'm like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And they're like, why? I said, I don't know. I just don't want to do that. Because I know I go out and do well, and then I started to doubt myself. Like, I remember when I did the 20 minute Netflix special, and the lady from Netflix come up to me, who's in Canada, mm-hmm. and she said, Miss Pat, come here. And I'm like, I'm saying to myself, I know who the fuck she is. She's the lady who fucking run the comedy department at Netflix. The crazy person in me, or the little thing that tried to keep me down. So what the fuck this bitch want? Why the fuck this bitch want to talk to you? Don't talk to this bitch.
Yeah.
And so I go and I talk to her and she said, we want to give you a 20 minute Netflix special. And I was like, my mind said, for what, bitch? And I looked at her, I said, oh, thank you. I said, did you tell Reg? And she looked at me because I guess she was like, I'll go, oh, and I was like, oh, okay. I said, did you tell Reg? She said, yeah, I told him. And I said, okay, I'm gonna go back over here. But that's that fear in me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was in LA shooting the pilot, getting ready for that. And I was talking to Jordan. I've told this story before. I was talking to Jordan. And he was fucking literally practicing all day for the pilot. And I mean, Debbie was wearing our asses out. And I would go up, stay up to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, hit different spots in LA. And he's like, why are you doing this? Because it wasn't because I didn't know those jokes. You know, when you do TV jokes, you're going to burn the shit and never use it again. I knew the jokes, but I wanted it to fall out of my mouth like it all went together like butter. And that's something Jordan, the writer of my show, could understand.
Yeah.
And he's like, but you already know this. It's already funny. I had to overcompensate because I was so scared I was going to fail.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
which is so frustrating.
I know.
Being sitting next to her. And it's like, I don't get jealous of you, but I do get frustrated because you think you're not, like, you don't see.
I don't see what you get.
What everybody else, no. Like, and I, that frustrates me because I want you to be able to see that. Even if it's just for like, it's like, Pat, you are so good at what you do. Like, because it's natural.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you never took a comedy class, like, you're fucking, when you, your first time that lady told you to go, you need to go do stand-up comedy. It's like, it's so easy for you to elicit laughter from people. And it's like, you're so good at it without even trying. And then I watch you actually try, and it's just like, oh, she's so good. And then you're like, man, I didn't like that. And I'm like, what are you fucking talking about? That was fantastic.
you have a level of experience that, like, you should just trust yourself more than you do.
I'm working on it. I am. And I think a lot of that come from, you know, childhood, just from what I've been through in life. And it's like, my family say I'm a person that's never satisfied. I say, you should never get satisfied and you don't have anything to work towards. When you start to think, I always say in this business, never suck your own dick. It's too many people out there willing to suck it for you.
Yeah.
You know how you see people that's not even that good and they're acting like they're famous? Then when you start to act like that, then to me, you're not working.
Yeah.
All you want to do is somebody to give you something. So I think that's why I always try to continue to work, and I don't see the stuff other people see. Because people ask, famous people, like, why do you talk to these people? I'm like, because they fucking people. These people go to Hobby Lobby for me. I like talking because they're real fucking people. I enjoy, actually.
They go to Hobby Lobby for me.
That's why.
Gotta get the deals, man.
My elite force of Karens.
No. But there, you know, like, some people come in my inbox and they talk, and if I'm not busy, I talk back, and they're like, oh, you shouldn't talk back. And I'm like, I'd rather talk to them than to talk to you motherfuckers with fucking problems that I'm not talking to you motherfuckers. I want to talk to the real people. Bitch, what kind of deal you saw at Hobby Lobby today?
Yeah, do you tend, and I'm just thinking this, but you tell me if this is right or not. Do you tend to look at your career or your work as I'm either talented or not talented, as opposed to I've worked enough, like, exercise for me was really important because it learned, I never thought I could lose weight until I exercised, and I was like, oh, you just do this over and over and over and you can do whatever you want to do. Like, do you look at creative work as something that you've done enough reps to be really good, or do you view it as I'm either just talented because God blessed me or I'm not? Because you have put in the work to be great at everything you do and you don't trust that work.
Yeah. I mean, I know I'm talented. I mean, and I know comedy comes easy for me, but I still feel like I'm not there yet. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not there yet. I'm not. I got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
You know, like, because I dreamed of being somebody like Richard Pryor. That's, you know, that's what I look up to. And, you know, I don't think I'm there. I know I'm not there yet. I would love to be, but I don't think I ever see myself like everybody else will see me.
You'll be great because it'll never be good enough.
Yeah, as long as you don't beat anybody else up, you'll be all right. Right. The elevator is going up.
Just listen to the life coach, you'll be fine.
Yeah, so I mean, and I don't know if I do that to keep myself humble. My husband said, he said I do that so it's like I'm not in reality, you know, Like, if I'm in a store and you recognize me, I will run from your ass. Let me get the fuck out of here, okay? Let me get the fuck out of here, you know? I don't know. I just think I do. I think I'm just humble. You know, I talk to anybody. I mean, you know, I don't...
Yeah, but that's what makes you humble, not denying your talent. You know, like, you have the ability to be the next Richard Pryor. Like, you know, you have a gift that other people don't, so your hard work plus your talent means you're not going to fail at whatever you put your mind to.
Well, probably not, but I'll probably get famous and then be hiding in the house. Mm. That motherfucker know who I am. I can't go to Hobby Lobby and Lowe's no more with no parole.
She's going
to
be Beyonce rich and calling us, hey, are you near the North Side? I got a table on Facebook watch that I need you to get.
I'll probably go to the house of my guy. What? Nigga, give me that goddamn table. Didn't you say it was $100? I don't know. You know, I just hard work, you know. And we'll see. I don't know how I'm going to react if once all of this shit I'm into eventually pop. I remember talking to the showrunner, you know, and he was like, are you ready for this? I said, what? I'm just ready to go to work and get my paycheck like everybody else. And he's like, you don't know what's about to happen, do you? I said, nope, nigga, but I know how much they said they're going to pay me.
You and I had a conversation 2 years ago when we started talking about the podcast at Bob and Tom. We had almost this exact same conversation. You have no idea because, maybe you don't let yourself take those benchmarks and reflect on how far you've grown. Like, we talk a lot about how far I've come and this and that on this show, but, like, take the benchmarks of that conversation 2 years ago where your career was, where you were like, I was helping you shoot an audition that you were kind of hoping to get. You have your own TV show now. You know what I mean? Like, think about all that's happened in the 2 years, and we're having the same conversation about, like, man, you could be super famous. You're really good at this. You're great. And you're like, we'll see. We'll see. Like, take stock in where you're at. Like, I think you're in a great position.
I am. I mean, I got a lot of stuff that we're working on. I am in a great position. If it pops, it could be life-changing. And I lay in the bed some nights and I think about it. And I asked my husband, I said, do you realize our life is about to change or could change? And he was like, well, I'll be glad because I'm ready to leave this motherfucking job. He said, I'll be glad you get me fuck out that platinum nigga think I'm rich. And they be like, what the fuck you doing here? Ain't your wife on TV? And my husband, he just stared at me like this. Like, get the fuck away from me. He be like, he said, when we talk on the podcast, they be walking, they'll come in the next day talking the shit because he don't listen to the podcast. Right. He's like, I don't know what the fuck you talking about. What the fuck are you talking about? When Tuesday, he said, every Tuesday morning, they ride into the podcast. Wednesday morning, they come in talking shit to him.
He's, at his just work? Staring.
Yeah, at his work.
Called him diet hands.
Yeah. So he said, I'll be glad you get me the fuck out of this plant. So, you know, I mean, I think that's what I'm working towards, of him getting retired, so we can move. And that's what fame is to me, when I can say, hey, dude, I got it. Let's go home. You know, let's move back home. And, you know, I'm just with my family.
Right.
You know.
Well, I can tell you this. I don't know what the future holds for the TV show, but I know it won't be your fault if it don't go exactly the way you want it to go. You work super, super hard. You hire the right people. You put in the effort, and you're really fucking funny. Like,
you have high standards. It's
like, you've let me, you know, you give me a little bit of a view on the inside, and from what I've seen, it's just like, the only way this show doesn't work is if somehow the marketing team doesn't do enough promotion for it, because it's fucking funny.
Well, the crack babies are not going to let that happen. But Dion, is there any job you could do that you'd stay up till 2 a.m. doing? Like, she's up
probably,
at 2, waking up at 3.
Porn, but that's about it.
I literally get up every morning and read the strips and go over them and punch them. And everybody else is in LA and they be like, do you fucking sleep? I'm just like that. That's the type of person I am. I will think about each line on the strip and say, oh my God, this joke wrote down. Let me get up and go write it down. Oh my God. And the great part about it, because I have Thomas Simmons, you know Thomas Simmons, and he the same way. All he need to do is throw water in his face and fucking wet his white face. He's fucking good. That's all he need to do. I mean, a cup of coffee and wet his white face and he's fucking ready to go. He's like Roadrunner right there by my side with me. And I was like, oh my God, I found somebody who just is fucking a workaholic like I am. But I literally get up every morning with my husband, go in that office, and by the time LA have woke up, I was like, hey, take out your computer, motherfucker. I'm ready to do this. Right. Or I'm ready to change it. And there been mornings, I know Dion be pushing me over to, no, don't answer this bitch, 5 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Nigga, wake up, I got to tell you this joke. I got to tell you this line. Is it working? And so he eventually called back. But I think I just, it's the work ethic for me. I like burying myself in the work ethic. I mean, I know the fame is coming, but I don't give a fuck about that. Like when we went to the NAACP Image Award, my book was nominated. Quisha tried everything to get me to walk the red carpet. I said, first of all, bitch, these shoes hurt. Second of all, nobody knows who the fuck I am. Third of all, I don't want to walk no red carpet. I just want to go and eat this chicken dinner that I've reserved, sit down, and get the fuck out of here.
See, but that annoys me, and I'll tell you why. You're always on Dion to get a nicer shirt. Image is everything. Perception is important in all this. And then you know that because yeah. You're telling him that advice. Walking the red carpet is how you get more promotion for your TV show, your podcast, your sets. Like,
yeah,
all that's important.
Oh, so you hate it when she's a hypocrite too. Yeah, let's talk about that.
Like, but you're not.
I was dressed up that day.
You're
I
not.
Was
no, but you're not letting yourself do it because you don't think you deserve it, and you do.
Yeah, well, the next red carpet I get, I might walk it just for you, Chris.
Do it, or I'll follow behind you. I'll be like pushing you on there.
Yeah, I'm almost
wearing comfortable shoes.
Well, I'm gonna give you a shout out. I mean, I don't know if I try to avoid stuff like that. I do. I don't care for all of that attention. And that's what Quisha. Hey, she was like, "Let me go. Let's go to the parties." I said, "No, bitch. I'm going to bed." What was that we at? And I had to go. I said, "I get you in, but I'm going out the back door on y'all asses." Even when I did T.I. Albany, he invited me to his...
The Mythbusters party in San Francisco.
There was no back door. We looked for that motherfucking one way in, one way out. It was that fucking garage.
And all the white San Francisco liberals were like, the blacks are leaving.
The blacks are leaving. Yeah.
Literally like a fucking fashion show, the way we walked in and out that bitch.
What the fuck was that?
I wanted those fucking chips and salsa so bad. She's like, we leaving. I'm like, God damn it.
Oh, God.
That was some bullshit.
Oh, here we go.
What you want, security guard? What you want, fat nigga? What it is?
You good, bro. What's
up? What it is, Captain Save a Dick?
Save a Dick. Nigga look like a free agent bodyguard.
See, I just love these conversations. It's healing because, I mean, I don't think I would have said that a year ago, but hey, we all got issues. That's
don't fuck around and let me get more confidence than you.
Oh God.
Don't let it happen.
I won't.
We're going to push him down in Brooke's shoes. Nigga, get out of here with that motherfucking walkie-talkie. What fuck is wrong with you? Radio.
He got it.
Who fucking ain't radio?
B-Stung Cuba good looking junior motherfucker.
Ah, look at
B-Stung.
So fucking funny. So we going to Atlanta and Kate is going with us.
Yep.
And Dion, and we're going to have a good time. And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. We're going to have a good time. We are.
You got the final date for when you need to report?
January 4th. Oh, I got to tell you. I'll tell you when we get off air and stuff like that. I need to get a place to stay. Oh, but it's nice. So I'm looking forward to it. Hey, keep healing. Hey, and you know, if you need counseling, like I'm in therapy and everybody up on this motherfucker is in therapy. And I'm a new therapist, so I'm new to this motherfucking crazy game. You know I got a sponsor called BetterHelp. You ain't got to sit in there and talk to them motherfuckers. You can do it on Zoom. If you don't like it, a nigga cross-eyed and get you another motherfucking counselor with two eyes that point directly at you. Ain't no sense you looking at a nigga with a rate with a motherfucking eye that yields to the other way.
Hello.
Oh, my grandbaby. I know I got to go for somebody kidnap these niggas. They ain't worth nothing. We want to thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Pat.
Hey, young man, do you want to try BetterHelp?
They going to need it.
Come and say your name, Aiden. What's your name?
Aiden.
Aww.
Come here, grandma, baby. That my baby. He be tearing up some shit, right? Come here. Come here, poo-poo. What you been doing? You was up there fitting on them all day. I did not say that. God forgive me. I didn't mean to say that. Oh, Lord. Paw Patrol.
Got a Paw Patrol head on.
Paw Patrol, your mask too big. Who the fuck gave you that welfare mask?
I am scary.
Who gave you that?
Miss Adams.
Adam gave you a fucked up mask. It's
dinosaur. Look like you're about to
drink a tea party. It's dinosaur and cute, too. And my baby. All right, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Pat Down. Okay, all
right. She told him to shut the fuck up as she gave him the microphone.
I got cowboys.
You got cowboys? Mm-hmm. Okay, what'd you get for Christmas?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Huh?
Now I want to call Sonic the Hedgehog.
I think he been reincarnated. He be talking about Sonic the Hedgehog. That shit old as shit.
Yeah, that was popular when I was his age.
Yeah, so I don't know what the fuck he talking about on Sonic the Hedgehog for. Yeah.
He's making a comeback big time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he 30. Hey, thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of the Pat Down. Make sure you check out my sponsor, BetterHelp, because we all motherfucking need BetterHelp. And I'm new to the crazy game. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to another episode of The Pat Down. Make sure you check out my website at MissPatComedy.com for all of my social media, my tour dates, my book. Make sure you spread the word about my podcast. Please rate and review. Please rate and review and share. Thank y'all so much, y'all. I've been Miss Pat.